verse number 6 of chapter number 5 of the book of Judges says, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways." Then in chapter 3 and verse number 31, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." You can be seated tonight. The text that I have read to you this evening introduces to us a man by the name of Shamgar. The Bible says that he was an owner of an ox goat, and that he slew 600 Philistines with that ox goad, and also delivered Israel. Tonight I want to look at this deliverer, this judge, by the name of Shamgar. You must understand some of the times that Shamgar lived in. He lived in the days when Israel had no king, and everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. It sort of reminds you of the atmosphere of our own society. There's nothing that is sin anymore. Everything is moved to the gray areas. And it might be wrong for you, and then again it may be right for me. But I'm just here to tell you, this Bible makes it clear that there are some blacks and whites when it comes to sin and to righteousness. There was no central authority. There was no accountability to government nor to religious leaders. But tonight, may I say that though we live in a day when men want to defy authority, there'll come a day that if we live and die, and we will, we'll give an account to God Almighty for our deeds. But he lived in those kind of days. After the death of Joshua and the elders of Israel, God's people began to dabble into the idols of the land of Canaan. And when they did, God would send judgment upon them and allow their enemies to rule over them and make them servants to themselves, until Israel would cry unto the Lord and I beg God to intervene. and the Lord would raise up a deliverer or a judge to rule His people. And usually in the lifetime of that judge, they would serve the Lord. But upon His death, they would begin to flirt around with the idol gods. And Israel would become captives to their enemies again. And then they'd go to crying out to the Lord. And God would hear their cry. And in mercy and grace, He would raise up another deliverer and overwhelm their enemies. Aren't you glad we have a God tonight that'll hear the brokenhearted? A God who will not despise a broken and a contrite spirit, but He acts in mercy and in grace. Oh, bless His name. I'm glad He did not give me what I deserve, but He gave me what I did not deserve. Hallelujah. The first judge that ruled over Israel was a man by the name of Othniel. He was the younger brother of, or the son of Kenaz, who was the younger brother of Caleb. You remember Caleb, don't you? He was one of only two that came out of Egypt and crossed over Jordan and went in to the promised land. Everybody else died in the wilderness. Caleb was a stalwart soldier, a man of devotion and defiance against the enemies of God. And he had a son, Kenaz, and Kenaz had a son by the name of Othniel. And God used Othniel in Judges chapter number 2 to be a deliverer for the children of Israel. You can describe Othniel as a soldier, a man who was expert in wielding a sword and fighting military battles and engaging the enemy. Aren't you glad God can use people that have gifts and talents, and God can take them and make them leaders and deliverers and to help the church of God? Othniel was a soldier. But after him was a man by the name of Ehud. The Bible said that he was a left-handed man. Hallelujah. Thank God for left-handed men. And he went to see the king of Moab. Eglon was his name. He was a rather huge man. He was very fat. And the Bible said that Ehud came to visit with him in his summer palace and came into his quarters and pulled a dagger out of his right thigh and run it into Eglon's belly until all the filth began to run out and let him die there in his own pool of blood and escaped and delivered Israel from the captivity of the Moabites. You could describe Ehud as a senator. He was a man that could talk to kings. He was a man that had access to the throne. A man that could go to the king's palace. He knew diplomacy. He knew how to speak in government terms. And God used a man such as Ehud to deliver the children of Israel. Oh, bless His name. But when we come to this man by the name of Shamgar, he was neither a soldier, and he certainly was not a senator. All he was a common, everyday kind of sodder. He was just a farmer. But I'm glad the God of heaven who will use a soldier and the God of heaven that will use a senator is the same God that will use an ordinary farmer, an ordinary sodder. Hallelujah! That gives me hope. That gives me help for my own life. You see, Shamgar lived in the days when the Philistines oppressed the children of Israel. Now mind you, the Philistines did not come upon the children of Israel in their fields while they would harvest their crops. Oh no. The Bible says that in the days of Shamgar, the highways were unoccupied. And the travelers walked by the byways. That simply meant in our everyday kind of thinking, there would not be a car traveling up and down Interstate 26. It would be clear of traffic. Everybody, if they traveled, they would have been taking the back roads and the dirt trails, the hard way to go. Because if they traveled the main thoroughfare, they could expect the Philistines to ambush them and steal away their crop they had harvested, carrying it to the market. And that was the days in which Shamgar lived in. Of course, later on, in the days of Shammah, they had got a little stupider. The Philistines did. They tried to just take it while it was in the field. If they had any sense, they'd have done like their forefathers had done and let the Israelites harvest it and then stole it away from them. But I'm here to tell you tonight, Shamgar saw the Philistines rob away a lot of his harvest, and the harvest of his friends and neighbors. And he is tired of it. He is upset about it. Let me tell you tonight, there are some Philistines who are living today. And if you're not careful, he'll ambush your life. And he'll rob you of some precious cargo. He'll steal away your testimony. He'll rob you of your place where you sit in the house of God. He'll rob you of your joy. He'll rob you of that prayer place and that fellowship you've been having around the Word of God. He'll rob you of your song and you'll not want to sing in the choir anymore. He'll rob you. He'll rob you. He'll steal it away. God, give us some Shamgars that would say, I'm tired of Satan and the Philistines robbing and stealing away what's precious and what I've worked and labored for all my life. I'm going to tell you, these children around here are enough to want to labor and serve God. Hey, we need some Shamgars to rise up say, I've had enough. I don't want my cargo and my harvest stole away. I don't want my son or my daughter to walk down a dead-end street of iniquity and sin. God, give us some Shamgars. With that in mind, I just want to emphasize one area in Shamgar's life. There's two or three of them. And there's something to be said about the teaching of his life. For his life is a life that should educate us on how to live. There is something to be said about the testament of his life. The last thing that's ever said about Shamgar was this, and he also delivered Israel. Oh, what a testament to Levi. Oh God, I don't wanna come down to the end of the way and leave a bad testament. I don't wanna fail. I don't wanna get put on a shelf. Oh God, help us to be a Shamgar in our day. What I wanna look at tonight for just a few moments, I wanna mention the tools in Shamgar's life. I believe he had two. At least two. Say, preacher, what are they? Well, one of them is a prod. The Bible said in verse 31 that he slew 600 men, 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Now, I knew what an ox goad was, or so I thought. If you look it up in the Bible dictionary, you'll find that it is a long rod, probably 6 to 8 feet in length, and it has a sharpened point on one end. And with that sharpened point, that ox farmer would take that prod, and when those oxen were not pulling like they ought to pull, he would give them a little encouragement along the way. Tonight, sometimes we get stagnant. Sometimes we get in a standstill spiritually and we just don't want to pull our load. We don't feel like it. Or somebody has said something that has offended us. And we have sat down on God. But thank the Lord for a Sunday morning when the man of God will take the Word of God and go to prodding and sticking us and causing us to stir from our stagnant condition and encourage us to carry on. Hallelujah! I'm here to tell you, it is worth every mile of the trip. Amen. There are times you need prodding in your Christian life. You need the Word of God and the sweet Holy Ghost to go to pricking about your life, to stir you to action and arouse you from your slumber and your sleep. Hey, there's a community around here that needs to know that the God of heaven is a dwelling around Bible Way Baptist Church. Let your little light shine into this world. You need a stirring in your heart. He had prod them oxen. I can feel it. Sometimes we just don't want to pull the load. We say, well, let somebody else do it. I've done it. Somebody else ought to do it. And I'm not saying that nobody else ought not to pull the load too. I'm just simply saying while you're in the harness, you're it. Hallelujah. And it's up to you to pull. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad for every time the Word of the Lord has wakened my spirit, stirred me from my slumber, and helped me to move my life toward God. You say, well, preacher, that's an Old Testament term. I know it, but I'm here to tell you it's also found in the New Testament. You ever read the book of Acts, chapter number 9? There's a man by the name of Saul persecuting the church, called the church of this way. Hallelujah. This way, Baptist Church. You go read it in the book of Acts. It's about 8 or 9 times the believers are referred to as this way. Hallelujah. And while he was traveling at a noonday hour, the Son of God outshone the noonday sun and put blindness on everybody but Saul. And a voice came out of heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Same word here in our scripture of the ox goad. The Lord said, you're fighting against conviction. It's a pricking you every time you try to lead one of those believers to the jail cell. Every time you've led them to their death, something has been a gouging in your heart. And ever since you saw Stephen lead out of here, you've tried to convince yourself that I was not real. But I got news for you, Saul. I'm alive forevermore. The Jesus you thought was in the grave is alive. I've risen and I'm a prick in your heart. Do you remember that Sunday when the Holy Ghost went to pricking around you? I remember that Friday night in August revival meeting. Been a little over 49 years ago now. Hallelujah! He went to pricking. Guarded my heart. So I was a sinner. Lost and undone. I say hallelujah! Thank God for the prod.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But I found out something else about that prod. On the other end of it, I didn't know there was something on the other end until I went to studying. And they said on the other end was a shovel-like piece of iron. And it was attached to the other end of that goat. And that shovel, that small shovel, was used to knock the dirt off the plow. When the dirt began to stick to the plow, that farmer would raise that plow up usually at the end of the row. And he wouldn't take the prod in, the stick in. It wasn't going to do the job. It wasn't made for that. But that other end that had the shovel, He'd go to knocking that dirt off the plow so he could turn around and go down the next spur. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard about somebody getting their plow clean? Hallelujah. It's a football term when somebody tackles somebody and they stop them in their tracks and they knock everything loose in their head and they go down. They say he has had his plow cleaned. I'm just here to say tonight there are times, hallelujah, when things get stuck to our plow, that the man of God is going to take that precious word and use it like a shovel and go to knocking it off of our lives. Hey, sometimes we get that old sticky dirt of pride thinking we can do without God, and we don't have to listen to God. We don't have to live under authority of the pastor, of the church, of the Bible. We'll do as we please. But I'm glad, hallelujah, the Word of God will knock that off of your plow. He'll knock that bitterness right off of your plow. You may be bitter at somebody over here, or somebody over here may be bitter at somebody over there. The Word of God will knock that dirt off your plow. Then some people get that old sticky dirt of an unforgiving spirit. Have you ever said this? They're going to have to come to me and make it right with me before I ever forgive them. Ever? Some of you might have said that. I'm going to tell you, that ain't the way you handle it. You'll never plow right with that old unforgiving spirit in you. I'm just here to tell you, we better learn to forgive folks whether they ever make it right with us or not. Because I'll tell you what that'll do. It'll just choke you. It'll make you anemic spiritually. You'll lose your song and your desire for God. You say, well, you don't know how they've hurt or what they... I do. I've been there. I've done that. I know what it is to hurt. This preacher knows what it is to be offended and cussed and treated shamefully. But I'm just here to tell you, they're going to have to deal with it one day. I'm not going to hold it in my heart. I'm going to go on and serve God and have joy and peace and gladness in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm glad the God will knock some of that dirt off of your plow. That's the prod. Number two, it's obvious, I've done said it, he had a plow. Had to. Bible doesn't say it, but it's in the white spaces. He grew a crop. He's an ox goad. He didn't have an ox goad just hang on the wall and say, hey, like my ox goad. He wasn't collecting antiques, no. He's using that thing because he had some oxen. And he had a plow. And he had a piece of ground that he is raising a crop on. Now, I want you to understand, I am not a farmer. I was born and raised in town. I'm a city boy. But I went to a country church all my life. Hallelujah. But I married a country girl. And hallelujah for that. She is with me last night. Hallelujah. Wish she's back here with me tonight. And when we got married, her daddy plowed. a garden. Now, two things I never did before I was married. I never did really plow with a plow, and I never did work at a sawmill. But after I got married, I learned how to do both of them. And it don't hurt you. But I called a man in my county who was a dairy farmer. His father was a dairy farmer, and his father was a dairy farmer. And now he's a dairy farmer, and his son is a dairy farmer. And I said, Bill, his name's Bill Chapman. I said, Bill, I want to ask you a question. I'm studying about a message about old Shamgar. And I want to ask you something about plowing, because I knew you'd know. And I said, I got a question. I said, why do you want to keep that plow clean? That was my question. I thought I knew the answer, and generally I did. And he was not at a loss for words. Immediately he said to me, he said, well, preacher, number one, if you ever want to plow a straight line and a straight furrow, he said, you're going to have to keep that plow clean. Because if you let that plow get dirt on it, it ain't gonna be able to plow right and turn that ground over right. You're going to have humps and high and low places, and it's going to wiggle around. You'll never be able to plow straight unless you keep that plow clean. Wonder why our life is so wobbly. Wonder tonight. Why is it so up and down and in and out? We're hot and then we're cold. Hey, ought to learn to be steady.
Yes, you're right. Yes, God help me.
He said, number two, he said, if you don't keep that plow clean, he said, whatever's pulling that plow is going to have a harder time pulling it. It's going to put a greater strain on the horses or the mules or the tractor or whatever it is pulling the plow if you don't keep the plow clean. And he said, if you don't keep that plow clean, you can get your field plowed, but it'll take you a whole lot longer to get it done. If you keep your plow clean, then you make better time. Hallelujah. It helps some Baptist folk that are complaining about how long the services go on Sunday morning. If they'd just get their plow clean and get things straightened out, you'd get out of here before 12 o'clock. Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere. And I'm about done here. I ain't gonna be very long. And he said, preacher, he said, when I was a little boy, about 7 or 8 years old, we lived in Iowa before we moved to North Carolina as just about a 12-year-old boy. And he said, it was my chore. We don't ever hear that word anymore. Chore. This younger generation don't know what a chore is. Well, they know what this is. But he had a chore. And he said, this is what I used to do every evening when my daddy come in from the field to plow. He said, it was my job to go to that barn, pull that old brush or that old mop off the wall, and go over to that 55-gallon barrel of burnt motor oil. And said, I'd I'd dip that mop or that brush in that old motor oil and said I'd go and I'd slap it on that plow. I'd put oil everywhere on that plow. I'd saturate that plow with oil. That was my chore. I said, Bill, why? Why did you put oil on your plow? He said, well, a plow is apt to rust if you don't keep it clean. But if you put oil on it, it can't rust. If it goes to rusting, it'll lose its integrity. It'll lose its strength. And it'll become weak in an area. But if you keep it oiled, praise God, no rust can form. And if you keep it oiled, the next morning, when my dad would take the plow out to the field, plowing was easy. That dirt would scour off the face of those plows. It wasn't hard to plow, cause that plow had oil on it, and the dirt couldn't stick to it. I'll tell you what we need tonight. We need some good oil on our plow. We need the Holy Ghost to saturate our plow. It'd make plowing a whole lot easier in our life.
Amen. Good preaching. Amen. That's good.
Good preaching.
Amen.
You see, how many of us have said, boy, I've never had it like this. Some of you here tonight, you're carrying loads that really nobody else knows about. You're bowed down. It may be with your family. It might be a wayward son or daughter. It might be a broken home. It might be disease. It might be sickness. It may be related to your job, whether you have one or not. But you're under a heaviness tonight. And I'm not making light of the loads that we have to bear. Because I'm here to tell you, I know what it is to bear under the load. I know what it is. And tonight I've learned that if I don't have the Holy Ghost on my life and on my plow, it makes carrying that load a whole lot harder. But when you got the good oil of the Holy Ghost on your life, praise God, even though the loads are heavy, it makes it a whole lot easier to bear up under. Praise God tonight. I'm glad there's help for the child of God. Some of you just need some oil on your plow. Some of you need the good Word of God to slap some oil on your life so you can bear up under your load. Tell you this, and I want y'all to come on around. Hey, Tommy, how about y'all come and sing something for us for invitation? Would you do that? There's an old preacher down in Knoxville by the name of Guy Milam. He's 78 years old. Hear me preach this one night. He said, preacher, he said, boy, that brought back memories. My young days. He said, my daddy didn't only oil the plow. He had all the bridle parts on the face of the horse. And he said, if you didn't do that, that leather would become hard and brickly. And when that horse would get in a pull, it had cut into its forehead and inflict pain and cause it to bleed. But he said, if we kept them old, said it kept it soft and pliable. And when the horse would get in a hard pull, the horse would just keep on pulling. Oh, the pull was hard, but he wasn't being cut. And there wasn't pain being inflicted by the leather of his bridal parts. Oh, no. In the night, I'm just here to tell you, if you'll just get some good oil on your life, it'll make pulling your plow a whole lot easier. It'll help you bear up under the loads. That sure can. I'm just here to tell you, I can't live without the smile of God. I can't live without His touch. I can't survive without some oil on my plow tonight. Would you stand while they sing? We need some Shamgars tonight. Some of us need some oil on our plow. It'll help you. Would you step out and come while they begin to sing? He's speaking to you tonight.
Broken from the journey, beaten from the struggle, straining to see His hand at work in me. In the middle
of confusion,
my doubts and delusions, I wonder if God is even listening.
He's speaking to you tonight.
When He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks,
some of you may have come
doors. When He
and
speaks,
the Word of God is ringing in your heart. I'd listen to it.
The peace.
You may be here lost. It'd be a good night just to surrender to that conviction in your heart. You may be bearing up under that heavy load. And tonight you just need some oil on your plow. Help it make the pull a whole lot easier. Maybe some things need to be knocked off your plow while they sing another verse. Would you come?
Place to run and hide.
But when He speaks, I know His voice. When He speaks, my soul does rejoice. When He speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when He speaks.
He
whispers sweet peace to me. Whispers sweet peace to me when I am cast out in spirit and soul.
Oh, the
peace with He
speaks. Just play. This past Sunday morning, I appreciate the good oil of the Holy Ghost. Help me put some oil on my plow. Made the burdens a little easier to carry. The pull a little less strenuous on your life. And I'm by no means complaining. Hallelujah. I wouldn't change. I don't want to jump out of the harness. I want to just stay in there for God. I'm just telling you, I appreciate every time the Holy Ghost puts some oil on my plow. I've got to have that help in my life. And whether you realize it or not, you need Him. You need Him to oil your life. It caused us to complain a whole lot less and go to pulling a whole lot more. If we had just get some oil on our plow, you'd be surprised how quick you'd get that field plowed if you just get some oil on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Just need some oil on your plow. That psalmist David said, He anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I say hallelujah, we need some oil on our plow. I listen to him tonight. They're going to sing one more verse. Sing for us, children.
I struggled with answers in a sea of trouble, drowning in the waves of the ocean's tide. And my desperate situation and present complications, I looked for a safe place to run and hide. But when he speaks, I know his voice.
Amen.
When he speaks, my soul does rejoice. When he speaks, my heart knows no fear. Oh, the peace when he speaks.
God's looking for some Shamgars that's tired of the Philistines robbing and stealing. Old Shamgar just got tired of it. Sink, swim, or die, he is going to do something. And God let him use his ox goad. Slew 600 men. Now, I don't know if anybody else rode the highways. But I'll tell you one man who did. His name was Shamgar. Hallelujah. I want to be a Shamgar for my generation.